This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We are joined by KP, Kevin Pelton, the machine of ESPN, to talk some college basketball prospects, the NBA draft lottery quickly approaching. May 12th is in the back of my head now. And the Blazers, Lord knows, they could pick anywhere between 3 and 13 at this point. KP, thanks for taking some time to join us, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I don't think the draft lottery is approaching as quickly as it was the last few years in Portland, though, right?
Yeah, no, it's check with me next week. with the gap seemingly closing with the Blazers, whether it's getting into the play-in, which they are now two games out of heading into tonight's action, but they are also less than a half game, I believe, with the Bulls winning last night, out of the eighth seed. It is that compression that we usually see towards the back of the lottery, or excuse me, towards the back of the play-in, is also now impacting that 7 through 12 or 13 spot as it pertains to the draft lottery. Yes, the Trailblazers, excuse me, are a game ahead of the Chicago Bulls, as well as a game ahead of the San Antonio Spurs, and a game and a half of the Miami Heat when you're talking about the front end of the lottery. KP, you have the Northwest vantage, but you have the outside vantage point of not being in the building night in, night out in Portland. When you look at what this team is doing, where do you fall on them going after the play-in versus maybe steering into the skid a little bit, and kind of what makes sense for the franchise overall?
Well, the one tough thing is it just looks like a very strong draft at the top, led by Cooper Flagg, who I think deserves to be considered a generational type of number one pick, like an above average, you know, way above average number one pick. And then, you know, plenty of depth behind him between Dylan Harper and VJ Edgecombe Jr. and Ace Bailey and so forth. So it wasn't maybe the best year to take this step, but the reason I think I'm in favor of the Blazers going for it, besides the fact that it's just been so long, March and April, for Blazers fans the last couple of years with the team trying to maneuver down in the lottery positioning, is this is being driven by the young guys, Monty Kamara and Denny Avdija, and, you know, Donovan Clingan now starting, Scoot Henderson's development, Jaden Sharp. Like, these are the guys who are your future. It's not something where it's sort of chasing, you know, a slim chance at a play-in run with a bunch of aging players. These are the guys, if you're having success in getting in the play-in run, it's because you don't necessarily need that much more young talent. Now, you could still probably use a centerpiece of this group, and that's where winning the lottery and moving up into the top three or four would be so great for the Blazers, but I don't think that they need to be sweating out every win at this time of the year in terms of how it affects their positioning for the draft.
With the Blazers right now, obviously a lot of fans are still upset about the tanking aspect, wanting to get a top pick. give me some reasons why the Blazers could be frisky if they do get into that play-in game scenario. Could they possibly go on a run and find themselves in that second play-in game for the 8 seed, or could they possibly even get to that 8 seed if they're able to catch up to the Phoenix Suns, who are in 10th right now?
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if they ended up making the playoffs entirely, but I do think there's a pretty big gap between the top 8 in the West and everyone else. I mean, you know, we've seen the Clippers, when Kawhi Leonard is playing like he has this past week, I think they're, you know, a legitimately scary postseason team. So I think there's a difference between them and even the 9th seed with Sacramento, and then obviously a big gap to everyone else, which is what's opened the door for the Blazers. But, you know, the experience of playing meaningful games for some of these young guys, I think, would often be quite useful. And you know, certainly for the fan base, too, after the last few years. We haven't, you know, witnessed a lot of games like that. And they're a lot of fun to be part of.
We're joined by Kevin Pelton of ESPN. We've got, obviously, the NCAA tournament's going on right now, and one of the guys that was massive in that run last year, and your modeling loved him, the Blazers ended up drafting him, Donovan Clingan. Who, right now, when you're taking a look at the data and the modeling, who stands out as a stark contrast to maybe the way that some of the mocks, particularly that Jonathan and Jeremy have at ESPN, put together? Who's kind of a standout guy that's maybe on the data side profiles a lot better or a lot higher than maybe some of the eye test or feel as the mock drafts are currently shaking out?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things about this draft is there is a lot of overlap between those two, but the guy who probably pops in the projections relative to where he is still in the mock drafts is Con Knipple from Duke. And when I incorporated the data from the Nike EYBL AAU tournaments, that's what caused him to shoot all the way up to number 2 in my consensus projections, behind only Cooper Flagg and ahead of Dylan Harper and BJ Edgecombe Jr., who had been, you know, kind of neck and neck for second much of the season before I incorporated that. So, you know, someone who I think, similar to Clingan, you wonder if he has the absolute upside of guys like Harper and Edgecombe and Ace Bailey, but can come in and capably fill a role with his combination of shooting and size. It's pretty hard for a player like that to not at least be a rotation caliber player.
As a Blazer fan, what teams should those fans be watching in the tournament for players that could possibly end up in Portland? With the success that the Blazers have had, should they be looking at what's going on in like St. Mary's Vanderbilt? Should they be looking at maybe what's going on with Colorado State and some of the players that they have? Where should the Blazer fans be watching?
Yeah, you've got some players on these teams making runs that are affecting the stock. I think it's a little tougher to say that one specific team, because the range for the Blazers at this point with that lottery pick in particular is so wide open. I mean, Duke is still always a good team to watch because we're talking about three guys in the lottery. It would be surprising if the Blazers went after Common Malawach, given that they did just draft Donovan Clingan and as overloaded as they are at center. But Knipple, I think certainly if you're in that back half of the top 10, is someone who could be in consideration. You know, I think Illinois with Kasparis Jakaciunas, potentially if he slides a little bit, is someone to watch if they can, you know, go a couple of rounds in the tournament here. But, yeah, maybe some second rounders on some of these teams that are making runs from the 11 and 12 seeds.
KP, one of the things I was interested in having you on here is talking about the modeling and the data and how all of the projections have kind of, or if they have, shifted at all as the NIL impact and guys staying around, and you're seeing rosters, particularly this year, being a lot older or maybe the oldest they've ever been in the modern era, as so many players are still around from the post-COVID year or a JUCO transfer year or something along those lines. Has there been any impact with some of those guys where you've seen them very similar to Dalton Connect last year, you know, coming from a Northern Colorado, then going to a major program like Tennessee? Are there any of those guys that are maybe getting a bit more juice numbers or not reflected as well, particularly with somebody like Bennett Sturgeon Drake, who comes from a Division II and maybe doesn't have the data behind it, but has been so productive in such a unique situation playing the literal slowest pace in college basketball?
Yeah, and that's somebody who really popped in the model even before, you know, scouts started talking about him as a sleeper. So, you know, we were kind of headed on the Sturts thing of his breakout this week in the NCAA tournament. So that was cool to see. I think what's really, it's like kind of evolving the science behind it right now, because historically what the numbers said is if you came into the league, you know, 23 and older, your chances of being successful were not very good. And sometimes that gets sort of paraphrased as, you know, oh, the problem is that you don't have any upside if you're that old. And I don't think that was ever the case. I think it was just a little more uncertain whether the success you had in college, was that just a product of having so much more experience than everyone else you were going up against? Or age is the case, maybe. I mean, you know, a name that Portland fans are going to be familiar with, Chris Duarte, is an example of that, is someone who was seen as, oh, this is an extremely safe prospect because he's so developed, he's going to be able to contribute right away. And instead, we've seen him struggle to stay in the league, unfortunately. And that was pretty common. But now that you have more guys that are staying several years, and partially in part because of the fact that they might be able to make more money in college than they can in the NBA, maybe that throws that off. So, you know, I think Connect has certainly outperformed how he looked in my projection. Quentin Post with the Warriors, who's become a really good and valuable backup center for them as a second-round pick, is another interesting example of that. So looking at this year's draft, it'll be interesting to see which of these guys kind of can shake off that older status. Chaz Lanier is someone I look at on Tennessee. He's only a four-year player, but had kind of similar to Dalton Connect, was playing at a lower level at North Florida, came to Tennessee, filled Connect's spot, and has been similarly productive offensively. So, you know, we'll see if I don't think he's going to be a first-round pick like Connect was or talked about as a lottery pick, but someone who I definitely think can come in and contribute right away off the bench.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That leads to an interesting conversation, too, because as you look at the NFL with quarterbacks, it feels and seems like quarterbacks that stay for a longer time in college develop at a higher rate, and then they come into the NFL, they hit the ground running, just looking at Jaden Daniels. Is that a move that we could see in college basketball as more players tend to stay and get the development that they need as opposed to coming into the league a little bit raw and hoping that they'll develop in a pro system? Are they able to do that now in college?
I still think it's going to be better for the top prospects to come into the NBA. You know, the one element of this is college basketball is just a very different style of play than the NBA, where it's so much more post-centric. You've got a lot more ability to hide players defensively. It's more difficult to, like, build your offense, you know, around the individual skills of the best players. So all those elements, I think, you know, if you're a top prospect, you know, that's talking at Cooper Flagg, depending on who gets the number one pick, that he should maybe consider going back to Duke because the NIL money, that's preposterous to me. I mean, you're still making those endorsements in the NBA. You're starting your rookie contract and you're playing against the best players in the world. But if you're, you know, somewhat of a borderline second round pick, I think that's where it starts to become more interesting and more legitimate. Like, okay, let's give this another year, see if I can boost my stock. But even if not, I'm probably still making as much at the college level as I would on a two-way contract in the NBA, or maybe even more.
the Yaxel Lindeborgs of the world, as it were.
Right.
I want to get you out on this one, KP, because this is actually something that's been kind of in the back of my mind looking at the evaluation process and the umbrella that is NIL and what it has done to college basketball, not only for the U.S. students and U.S. Born players, but the influx of European players. And I'm wondering just if there's been any data points. I know the sample size is going to be just so small, but there has been a massive influx of European players over the last 2 years into college basketball. Has there been any trends, or have you noticed any trend lines of those players, of particular success markers or trailing markers as far as what they do or don't have as far as projections to the NBA, or any differences between them and the American-born players?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we're probably going to take a few more years for the data to shake out for there to be enough of a sample of those type of players. But it is definitely something that's noticeable, and it's sort of reflected on the interesting fact that after we've had non-Americans, in both cases French players, go number one the last 2 years in the draft with Wembanyama and Zachary Arisa-Shea this year, that, you know, it's entirely possible that we might not have an international player in the lottery at all this year. I think Noah Senge probably will end up in that spot. Mm-hmm. He's someone that also comes out really well statistically. But Igor Demin is an example of someone who, you know, in the older model probably would have stuck it out in Spain and just been drafted from there, as we've seen so many players, but instead decided to come over for a year at BYU. And, you know, I don't know if it changes his trajectory at all, but it certainly changes our knowledge of him as American fans, where we've been able to watch him now in this NCAA tournament run.
KP, hey, man, I just want to say thanks for your time. We always appreciate it. We'll see if we can check back in with you in a couple weeks when you're down here for Hoop Summit, and we're looking at the next generation of both the U.S.-born and international stars.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right, thanks. Kevin Pelton of ESPN joining us here.